Hello everyone, welcome to the XCast X-Files Podwatch episode 47, covering Synchrony and Small Potatoes. I'm your host, Carl Sweeney, and with me today is Sarah Blair. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Carl. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I'm looking forward to discussing these two episodes. We're in season four, so, you know,
it's a great season.
Classic X-Files in many ways. Yeah.
Yes, I think four is probably my favourite season.
Four was my favourite for a long time. It's slipped back a little bit. I mean, there's so much good stuff in there. And I suspect we'll have more to say about Small Potatoes than Synchrony, but...
Yeah.
Let's start by discussing Synchrony. So this is episode 19 of season 4, and we're in April 1997 for both of these episodes, just over 20 years ago. It was written by Howard Gordon and David Greenwalt, and it was directed by James Charleston. And this is the episode, it's the time travel episode. It's the old man who comes back from the future to warn his younger self to try and stop a fellow scientist being killed. And it's about, the process that leads to the discovery of time travel. So what do you think about this one, Sarah? What's your view on Synchrony?
I don't love it and I don't hate it. It's sort of one of those middle of the road episodes that I sort of forgot about until I looked at it. I glanced through and I was like, oh, right, that's the one where he gets with the bus. I remember the bus very vividly at the beginning of the episode, and that's about all I remember of it. Time travel is really cool. I like that they dealt with the time travel. That's a neat subject.
Yeah, because apparently Chris Carter had said in the early years of the series that time travel was a bit too Star Trek for the X-Files, and he didn't see it as being something the series would ever do. But then by the time season four, you know, this is late season four, obviously he'd softened a bit on that stance, and he thought it was time. And I think it's handled quite well. But I think if somebody like Vince Gilligan had written this episode, he would have been able to stretch the concept a bit further. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think in this episode, it doesn't really develop much beyond the sort of strict confines of the murders. So I think there was a bit of untapped potential there, maybe. Maybe that's what I'd say.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's a decent episode and it's somewhat X-Files-ish with the murders and the procedural stuff. And then you've got the creepy older self coming back to destroy the younger self, and it could get very meta if you let it. Yeah. I think they did a good job keeping it from being too confusing. I mean, it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and like you say, that the beginning with the bus is quite striking and quite memorable. Mm-hmm. Then also later on, there's the stuff where the guy who comes back from the future he's got some kind of rapid freezing accelerant. You know, he injects the people with it, and they basically turn into an icicle, and I thought that was quite effective as well.
Yeah, it's got some cool effects in it, for sure.
What about from a... So, obviously you're of the shipper persuasion, Sarah. Do you remember much from this episode that sort of, took your fancy in that respect?
Honestly, no, not much.
The only thing I can remember is that there's a few conversations between Mulder and Scully where Mulder's talking about Scully's thesis.
Oh, right.
Which is Einstein's twin paradox, a new interpretation. And he's able to quote to Scully, you know, verbatim from her thesis, and that's quite nice.
Well, it's always sexy when your crush can quote anything you write verbatim. So, yeah, that's definitely a good shipper moment, for sure. It shows that he's totally into her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she could I don't know if she would do the same. Do you think she could do the same with any of his profiles on
that's
criminals?
That's a good question. I don't know. I remember in the pilot episode, she's fully aware of his work on, it's Monty Props is the serial killer he caught. And she obviously she's aware of his reputation. She knows he's called Spooky Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
But whether she could...
Mulder does have photographic memory, so maybe that helps. Maybe he's not really memorized it so much that he just read it once and can remember it.
That's a good point, actually, because Mulder's memory, yeah, it's photographic when the plot requires it, isn't it? And then there are other times when he fails in a little bit, yeah.
Just like when he's colorblind when the plot requires it. But
oh, yeah, or when he's scared of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So Synchrony, then, is this one, you know, if you're rewatching, but you weren't doing a full series rewatch, would this make the cut, or would it be one that you'd, you know, you wouldn't be too fussed about?
I think I would probably skip it, because Small Potatoes is next, and it's one of my all-time top three for me.
Oh, okay.
I would just be like, hey, Small Potatoes, let's go.
Yeah, I quite like Synchrony, but I think I'd have to be doing quite an extensive rewatch to include it.
Right.
If I was just watching the best episodes, it wouldn't be one that would make the grade, I don't think.
Yeah, same.
Okay, well, with that being said, there's quite a lot to say about Small Potatoes, so perhaps we should go on to discuss that one. So yeah, let's move on to talk about Small Potatoes. Okay, so Small Potatoes is episode 20 of season 4, and it was written by Vince Gilligan and directed by Cliff Bowle. And of course, this is the episode that begins with the babies being born with tails. And it goes on to be about this figure, Eddie Van Blunt, played by Darren Morgan, who's able to shapeshift, and he's fathering children with all these different women. So, you like this one, Sarah, yeah?
I do. It's one of my all-time favorites. I mean, it's hilarious, first of all. I love that Eddie Van Blunt is this just... He's a loser, and he knows it. And I know Mulder asks Scully in the episode, like, if you could be anybody else, who would you be? And she says, hopefully myself. And he's like, isn't that boring? And it's like, if you could shapeshift into anybody, like, that would be so cool. That's such a cool superpower. And Eddie Van Blunt uses it to, I mean, technically rape people, which is horrible. Mm. But, I mean, he does it and he's like, this self-effacing, like, total loser, and he tries to be really cool, and he, in his own messed up, twisted way, thinks he's helping people by giving them babies that they want, because they're all infertile and having trouble getting pregnant. It's just a real messed up episode, and I love those kinds. Those are my favorite ones, that are just the real screwed up ones, with a lot of humor and all that kind of stuff in it.
You mentioned there, you know, the rape aspect of this. Let's deal with that straight on, because this seems to have become a bit more of a controversial episode as the years have gone by. So, obviously, he does get punished at the end, doesn't he? He goes to prison. But from what I understand, the objection some people have to this episode is that it's too sympathetic to his character. So, what do you think about that?
I wouldn't say that it's sympathetic to his character. I think that, I mean, technically, I suppose you sort of feel sorry for the outcasts and the quote-unquote losers in life. And not to defend it, because there is no defending anything like that, but he wasn't violent. He's just this guy who's trying to use the superpower for evil instead of good, but he, in his own twisted-up way, you know, like I said before, he thinks he's helping people. So I guess in a way, I don't know, it's complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. I think actually I've listened to Vince Gilligan's commentary on this episode before on the DVD. Mm-hmm. And I think he talks a little bit about it at the end. And he says something along the lines of, yeah, you know, it's a good job that the episode ends with him going off to prison. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he definitely does deserve to be punished.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
But it's quite an interesting one. This is kind of like what I said about Synchrony, where that's a time travel episode, but it doesn't really do as much of it as it could. But here we have a shape-shifting episode, and then in the last quarter or so, it takes quite a nice left turn, where you've got Eddie Van Blunt as Mulder in the FBI and everything. And I think that's a great sequence. You know, he's making typos in his FBI report, and he's all that stuff.
Yeah, and trying to seduce Scully. I mean, it just goes to show how good he is, because even Scully can't really tell the difference.
Yeah, because he turns up with, he got a bottle of wine or something, and we don't really talk much, do we, Scully? So, as a viewer, what are you thinking at that point, you know, when he leans in for the kiss? It's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because we know it's not Mulder, but yet, you know, lots of people have fantasized about the Mulder-Scully kiss, and it's almost there.
I'm glad they didn't make that happen because it drives me nuts when I really want characters to get together and it's either a dream or when they finally do kiss, I want it to be for real. They did that on, I don't know if you watch Bones, but
no, I don't.
They finally had the episode where they got together and it was a dream and I was so, so, so mad that it wasn't for real. So I'm glad that they stopped it when they did, and I'm glad that Mulder came in and put a damper on that little fire that was going, but
I wonder what the conversation after that happened would have been interesting to see, wouldn't it?
That would be hilarious. That would be a great fan fiction to write. So Scully.
Oh yeah. All right. So what about Darren Morgan as Eddie Van Blunt? Obviously, we know him as a writer first and foremost, and he played the Fluke Man as well. And here he's called upon to give, he's got quite a tricky job to do with his performance, but I think he pulls it off well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's great. He does a really good job of being creepy, but also sort of just a guy that sort of blends in. Aren't those the creepiest kind of villains, I think, that they, they sort of, you wouldn't guess that they were. He's got this nice face and it's sort of open and he's not like Donnie Faster where you look at him and you can just tell he's evil. He's sort of just this he's not cute. He's not ugly. He's just sort of this regular dude.
Yeah.
Just hanging out with this, doing the plumbing. You never know.
Yeah, and supposedly Vince Gilligan said to him, describe the role to him, and he said, you just need to play yourself, basically. And Morgan, I think, took a little bit of offence. Yeah, and it's interesting that he's finished his writing capacity, his stint as a writer is finished at this point, until season 10 anyway, but they brought him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what else? So
I read on the Wikipedia, the X-Files wiki, how Eddie says there's an H, the Van Blunt, the H is silent. Yeah. There's a big running joke through the whole episode about that, and it's a inside joke on David Duchovny's name, because a lot of people try to pronounce it with the H.
Oh, yeah.
And it's silent.
I see.
So I thought that was interesting that they put that in there.
Yeah, and you've got the figure at the beginning of the episode. I've forgotten her name, actually. I think, is it Amanda Nelligan? Is that right? She, the woman who's in Star Wars 428 times or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Eddie had appeared to her as Luke Skywalker, or supposedly had, anyway. And the whole episode is just, it's studded with these little bits of comedy. And I think the final sequence is probably my favourite part, but the whole episode's a good laugh, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they hold up the baby and it's got a tail and, it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you were telling me that it wasn't always going to be babies with tails, was it? What was the original plan?
Wings. I didn't know that. It's on the DVD commentary, I think, that Vince Gilligan mentions that they wanted to do wings because they were cuter. But I think the tail makes sense as part of a genetic point of view, because technically when babies are in the womb, they've got this vestigial thing that sort of just usually typically falls off. I think Scully mentions that in the episode. But this is part of the genetics that make it possible for them to change shape also. And I've always wondered, are the babies going to be able to grow up and change shape? Are they going to be shapeshifters?
Yeah, does it run in the family? I don't know.
Yeah. If it's a genetic thing, because his father had it. Eddie Van Blunt's dad could do the same thing, couldn't he? Or did he just have the tail?
His dad had the tail, didn't he? But I'm not sure about the...
They never mentioned it, did it?
No, not from what I can recall, no. And then at the end of the episode, he says that they make him wear caps in the correctional facility he's in, and apparently that stops him being able to shapeshift.
Yeah, the muscle relaxers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They make him take the muscle relaxers so that he can't.
Oh, okay.
Shift, but yeah, that's an interesting I'd like to know about that.
What about David Duchovny then, because obviously Darren Morgan we talked about, but Duchovny's got to be quite clownish as well at certain points, And, you know, there's a scene where he impersonates himself in front of the mirror and all that. And he really throws himself into the role, doesn't he, in this episode?
Yes. He does a great job. It's so funny. And he also, I feel like David Duchovny, playing Mulder at times, he had sort of that self-effacing, loserish persona. So I think it sort of fit in. Maybe he sort of understands Eddie Van Blunt on a personal level a little bit. I don't know.
Well, everything we see about Mulder's life and everything is, you know, it's just the fact that he's devilishly handsome that we don't think of him as a proper social pariah, but, you know, he's addicted to porn and he doesn't have a bed and, you know.
Exactly.
You always get these contrasts with people like the Lone Gunman who, they're a bit more like what we'd imagine people like Mulder to be like, I think. Whereas Mulder's kind of the Hollywood version of it in some ways.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. But and one of the things that I really love about this episode is the genetics part of it and the shape-shifting and all of that I found so interesting. And when I was writing my book, Darkness Shifting, I've got like werewolf shifter characters in it. And that's actually sort of, I was watching Small Potatoes one day, and that's sort of how I got the idea that they should be shapeshifters.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a new idea at all, but it just occurred to me when I was watching Small Potatoes. I was like, oh, maybe I could do shapeshifters. That would be interesting. And sort of talk about, and I did a lot of genetic research and things like that, so that I could sort of add a little bit of authenticity to it. But yeah, for anyone who's interested in that little tidbit of trivia.
Cool. So just another, you know, if you haven't already, check out Sarah's book, obviously.
Because it's always about me, never about the Exiles. Yeah. It's always about me. Right. No.
So you said this is one of your very favorite episodes finally then, Sarah. This is, you said top three, is that right?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of my go-tos. Yeah. Whenever I sit down and I want to watch a good episode of The X-Files, it's this one or Quagmire, one of those two.
Okay.
Pretty much. Those are my go-tos. Or Dreamland. Dreamland,
yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
So, I agree. It's got a lot of replay value. It probably wouldn't be in my top three, but I can't argue about that too much. It's a great episode.
Bad Blood. Oh, Bad Blood, too, is a good one up there.
Well, that's quite a nice positive note to end on, I think. So tomorrow, the episodes under discussion are Zero Sum and Elegy. You can find us on Twitter at @X_cast. And we've got a Facebook page and a Facebook group. And the group is called X-Files Basement, the X-Cast Podcast Fan Group. So if you search some variation of that, you'll find us. But thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time, trust no one.